This is CliffCentral.com.
Yena funa hamba kongo. Hey, what's up, everybody? You're Maraza Law, a.k.a. Mr. Kwan, a.k.a. P-L-I-N-D. And you're listening to the Unplugged Radio Show. 12 to 1 p.m. every single Thursday on Cliff Central. It's too short, like me.
You heard Maraza's too short like him. Thank you for tuning in to Unplugged and In Charge. We're back again for the shortest hour of the week. You know what it is, every single week we come to you with Unplugged conversations with young people from around the country doing really, really cool things. Today, like it always is, guys, we never do this thing alone, man. It's always me and my homie. Where's that guy's in the building? I want you guys, before I let Weza speak, guys, I just want you to ask yourself something. I don't know if you guys drive or if you guys watch TV. I'm pretty sure you guys do both. But if you haven't seen Dial Direct ads or billboards, now I don't know if you guys are living in a cave or if maybe you drive blindfolded, which either way you must stop doing that, because if you haven't seen this guy on the billboards and on the TV, you've been sleeping. What's happening, Weza?
Yo. Everything's good this side, man. Everything's good this side on the billboard side of life.
Listen to Weza. On the billboard side of life. For those of us who are not on the billboards yet, that's what this show is for, man. We want to inspire you guys to be the best versions of yourself. Another thing that I would like you guys to take part in is just hit us up on social media. You know what I'm saying? We are available to take part in conversation with you guys. You don't have to be in studio. You can hit us up on WhatsApp on 079-748-2090. We'll have a conversation with you there. Or you can hit us up on Twitter at CliffCentral.com. You can get hold of me at V_TheEverything on Twitter, and you can dial Weza directly at Weza That Guy. You see what I did there? You see what I did there, man? You gotta give it up.
Sure
for that.
Well done.
Man, what a crazy week it's been, man. I haven't been on air for the last week, so yeah. I'm happy to be back, bro. I'm happy to hear my voice in my headphones. You know what I'm saying? Uh-huh. and I'm good. It's good to be chilling back with you, bro. How's things been?
Yeah, man. Look, things have been really great. I just came back from Sun City. Living at the palace, you know, lifestyle, you're my life. It was really cool. What was really cool is really just, getting involved with whatever we were doing that side. It was really just like a customer-centric conference, you know, those.
This is still part of being the Dial Director.
Yeah. It's still part of all that stuff. It's really cool. But other than that, what else did I do this week? We just came from the Mzansi Arts thing. That also was really cool. I mean, we're trying to open up the industry, building a platform, and young people were auditioning and so on. So, SO to everybody.
Was it the first auditioning part? You told me about that.
People, some got golden tickets. Well, we call them black cards. So some got black cards. Some were asked to come back again because we're having another audition pretty soon. But it's really cool that we, you know, what we're trying to do is really just build a platform where young people can exhibit their talent and then hopefully get scouted and they can actually find their way into the industry as well. Things like that. Yeah,
that's really cool, man. I think shout out to that. That kind of initiative really go a long way for.
Hey, man,
for
always, I like when I chat with some of the guys, when I tell them, hey man, I want you to come on board, I always start the conversation with, you know, I'm always on another mission to save the world. And here's another one.
Talk to them, my boy. That's really good to hear, man. I think the more young people do, you know, the better we can make our society. Yeah. I mean, I've also been really busy, bro. It's just been handling the album stuff. So our album's done really well. You know, we've had some big meetings with some fairly big corporates. Well, when I say corporates, I mean like big companies, man. I've had a meeting with Apple. We've had meetings with different brands that are looking to get involved, you know. So I'm just trying to strategize that. So it's been crazy. If you guys have got the album, thank you very much. If you guys haven't, check out Yellow on iTunes and all digital platforms. Shane Eagle's debut album's really, really done well. So that's been inspiring. And I know the music's inspiring a lot of people, which is really cool too, you know. So in a way, we also are just trying to change the world.
I mean,
you know?
Still, I think one of the most inspiring things about your story is that you guys didn't go the conventional route of asking big names to help you do it faster and sign your, you know, your wealth away, even if it was potential wealth at the time, but you didn't, you know, try to get this easy route and then just jump onto someone else's thing. And that sometimes happens with so many people. So I think that's still something that really stands out. You said that there's something you're looking forward to this week.
Yeah, man, we've got two big festivals this week, which is pretty cool. And then next weekend, followed up, we've got Joey Badass is performing at Rockin' the Daisies. So we out at Rockin' the Daisies from the 6th to the 8th of October. Yeah. And then this weekend, we're at Makufe in Bloemfontein, and we're at the 053 Festival in Kimberley, which is pretty cool. So we're going to be traveling this weekend on the road, and Shane's going to be rapping his ass off, feel me? But yeah, what Wes has said is very true, man. Young independent artist, young independent businessman, anybody actually doing their own thing, you know, big ups to you guys, man. Take your destiny and your future into your own hands, and you know, should you succeed, should you learn, either way, at least it's at your own accord, you know what I'm saying? And that's always something to take positive, let's take positive confirmation from.
Another thing that I was actually also doing this past week is I was emceeing at someone's wedding. Now, how much money do you think is spent on a wedding, like one wedding?
Okay, it depends on what type of wife you got.
You know, people normally, you know, splurge on the wedding day.
Yeah,
I mean, the venue's expensive, the dress is expensive, the food, the catering,
rings,
the ring, and all that stuff. How much do you think, like, how much are you budgeting, Vaughn, before you say, yeah, no, I'm getting married now?
How much do you think
you're going to spend just for that day? Excluding Lobola, né?
Sure. Oh, knowing me, I'm probably going to have to pay Lobola, dog.
I think that's a bit of a
question I've never thought of before, but I actually like the fact that you asked me that. I think, let me put it around, okay, I think it'll be a couple hundred grand. I think a big wedding and something extravagant, or like I said, all depending on the situation, but I think something big and nice would be around the region of between 350 and 500,000.
Okay, 350,000.
Yeah, maybe.
Max 500, is that what you're saying?
That's what I would imagine. Cool. And I'd still feel like, damn, that's a lot of money.
You're right. spend in
one day.
Yeah.
I relax, Joe.
So this wedding I went to, the budget was 1.3 million. 1.3 million. Yeah. Imagine.
What was that? Was 350,000 just for you? What?
Hey, look, you know, we are going to start talking about
getting a raise. We're moving on up, guys.
But it's amazing. And these are young people. I think obviously it's because of their family's connection. It's old money and that type of stuff.
But
sometimes.
I mean, still, man, that's a big amount.
Imagine 1.3 in one day, just like... Sure.
That's unbelievable. That's unbelievable, man. It's all just for one day of entertainment.
I think everything should be done before you spend 1.3 million.
Now I hear you. Now we're talking. That should be the I can blow this.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, not like ish now. The house.
Exactly.
What about the whips? Like, it's tricky now. But talking about spending so much money on entertainment alone, I thought we'd jump into something that I came across on GQ South Africa. They were talking about Forbes top 10 highest paid entrepreneurs. Oh, sorry, paid entertainers of 2017.
Sure.
Which, you know, I'm pretty sure we would have guessed a couple of these names, but there was one or two names that stuck out to me a little bit, because, you know, if people can spend 1.3 million rand on a single day of entertainment, can you imagine what some people are making over a whole lifetime of entertaining? Because entertaining must be probably one of the purest forms of work. You know what I'm saying? Like, I mean, you're in entertainment, Wiz. You're an entertainer, you know, by trade. You're MC / you know, voiceover artist and the ad guy. I mean, now you know, dial direct. So there's a element of entertainment to your job. And I think us on radio is entertainment. I think in the music industry it's entertainment. So we come from that space, you know. And I've experienced that no matter what a situation might be like in a country, people are always willing to spend on feeling better, you know. And this is proof. I mean, look at the numbers that we're going to be talking about now. Coming in at number 10 is LeBron James, sportsman, $86 million he made in 2017. That's 2017.
Oh, this is for 1 year.
That's 2017.
Hi,
man. Yeah, this is 2017, man. 2017, bro. And it's not even over yet. Remember, there's still 3 months left of 2017, guys. Hey, LeBron James surfing in at $86 million at number 10. Number 9 is James Patterson at $87 million. So he's got $1 million more than LeBron. And then we've got Coldplay coming in at 8 with $88 million. I can hear the 86, 87, 88. Damn.
Wow.
Coldplay, I mean, I don't know if you guys listen
just
to Coldplay's
some music.
Yeah,
really?
Just out there with their guitars strumming. But, I mean, okay, fair play to them. I mean, that's very cool. Howard Stern at $90 million in 2017. And then one of the guys who I felt, I don't know how I feel about him right now, but I used to really like him. And now I don't know if I like him. The Weeknd. at $92 million. I used to like The Weeknd. Now, I'm not sure if I like him because I feel like The Weeknd's one of those dudes that, my G, you sold out. I feel like you sold. I feel like I want to tell him that one day. Like, yo, bro, I feel like you sold out. Because I remember his first album and like the sound and the... And then like 2 years later, I saw him in like leather pants going, I can't feel my face when I'm with you.
Look,
and
man,
I was like, this now.
The people with the money like it, so.
Hey, but
now
you
he's
see,
got
that's the thing.
Now $92 million dollars later.
I feel you. No, you can look at me and be like, I don't care, bro. I sold for a high price.
Yeah.
I'm saying? So, I know, man. Fair play. But I think, yeah, there's probably just a part of me that just feels a little like, man, could have just carried on. Anyway, The Weeknd at number 6 with $92 million. And then we've got Cristiano Ronaldo, man. Cristiano Ronaldo's jumped in here with... Let me quickly... I lost it there for a second. Oh, there we go. Cristiano jumped in 2017 earning $93 million. Oh, my
93.
Gosh. $93 million, man. That is insane amount of money. But a footballer, nonetheless. Not only is a footballer, he's also dabbling in a whole lot of different businesses.
Yeah, I mean, the cool thing with Cristiano is that he's decided not to just go after these endorsements, but actually to create his own brands.
Yes, he has done that, which is really cool.
So instead of the whole, hey, Calvin Klein wants me to model in their underwear, he decided, no, let's make CR7 underwear.
There we have it.
And then CR7 cologne. And he just literally just...
And I mean, CR7 now is putting Calvin Klein under pressure because, I mean, look at the brand he has. Look at the power he has. You know, it's
exactly.
Unbelievable.
Mm.
And then obviously... he's always featuring is Drake at $94 million. Just above Cristiano Ronaldo. Drake can't seem to stop making money. You know what I mean?
Drake should have a line about how he, you know, he scores more goals than Cristiano in the bank. You know?
Hey, guys, get this podcast to Drake. Where's he got some advice? Share this thing till Drake hears it.
Yeah.
And then number 3 was quite interesting. I never expected this name, but J.K. Rowling is in at number 3 with $95 million.
Wow. J.K. Rowling still rolling it in.
Do you know what I mean? J.K. Rowling.
What is...
She's rolling in the dough.
I mean, is she still just writing? What else?
I think it is. I think maybe there's been movies that have been shot off her books, which I'm sure she gets massive royalty from. But I mean, who would have thought, you know, a writer would be in the top 3 entertainers
in the world
making money in 2017? Unbelievable.
I am sure there was someone back in the days who said, bro, what are you doing?
I was just about
writing. Get a real job.
Yeah, rap. You know what I mean? So who knows, man? But there's the proof in the pudding. J.K. Rowling in number 3, and just above her, well, I say just above her, but there's about a $10 million difference. Jeez. It's Beyonce, the queen herself. You know what it is already.
She's $105 million.
In 2017,
one year.
I mean,
what you made, what you did with your life.
I mean, where you at? You feel me? Like, Beyonce is killing us.
10
man.
months.
Beyonce.
Less than 10 months.
It's crazy dope to see 2 females in the top 5, eh?
Yeah.
That's really, really dope.
Wow,
I think
it's like she's making more than $10 million a month. $10 million a month.
Yes, she is.
Wow.
Oh my gosh, bro. Times that by 13. That's in rands, guys. Go figure. Don't get depressed yet. We're not done with the podcast. Okay, so Beyonce in at number 2 with $105 million. And then number 1, the man himself, can't stop, won't stop, Sean Diddy Combs, man. $130 million.
Wow.
P. Diddy cannot stop. That guy is next level. I don't know if you guys have seen his documentary, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. You'd probably really enjoy it.
Yeah.
You just see the absolute hunger he has, man. He's like a... He's obsessed. He's obsessed. He's like... He's next level hungry. He's next level driven. He's completely out of the box. I have a lot of time for P. Diddy. I think he's a very, very important person in entertainment today. And he's proving it by the numbers. He's proving it by the results. And he's definitely putting out a good end product. And that's exactly why he's there today. You know what I'm saying? So if you guys want to get a little inspired, definitely go watch some P. Diddy documentaries. Because,
wow.
Yeah, it's actually really, really cool. I'm sure you would really like it, Wes. I know that it would be up your alley for sure.
Mm.
And then just jumping back to that number 5 guy. Cristiano Ronaldo, who's got $93 million this year. As you mentioned before, Weza, he's not in the whole endorsement game. He's really bringing out his own cologne. I think the says, the 32-year-old professional footballer has launched a new fragrance called CR7, adding that to his collection of millions of different products that he's owning, right?
And it's important, I think, when you start to get some sort of hype that you use it in other ways too. And that's exactly what he has done. He knows that, I mean, people like him and brands see that. And brands say, hey, look, I'll give you money. But if if they think that you can influence people to buy their car, then can't you make your own car and influence people to buy your car?
But that's exactly it, man. That's exactly it. We don't. And I was having this conversation with a couple of entertainers here in South Africa. I said it's one thing to sign a big contract and be restricted within that contract. Let's say it's a big clothing brand. You must only wear this clothing now because they have paid you this much. In a way, over a couple of years, that the novelty of that big amount of money wears off, and the frustration builds in where you can't necessarily be yourself exactly and do what you want exactly, which is, look, it's give and take. You got to weigh it up. If it makes sense, it makes sense. But at times it doesn't make sense and people do it just for the money. And I would say exactly what you said, man. Partner with them. Open your own line. Express yourself. If you've got the brand power, if they come into you to push them forward, what does it say about you? What does it say you can do on your own? You know, if they're going to put 5 million into you, they know they can make 15. Doesn't that mean you can make that 15 yourself?
Yeah.
So it's these questions we need to ask ourselves in the entertainment industry. And I think for any of us to achieve the level that these guys are on at the moment, we need to definitely look at what Wes is talking about, owning our own and definitely pushing ourselves to the places where it might be uncomfortable and it might be scary, but we can get there if we support each other and if we believe in ourselves, you know what I mean? And I think to believe in ourselves, we need to want it really badly. So in that... on that breath, I want to sort of play you guys a little motivational clip, which sort of, I don't know, when I listened to it, it really motivated me and it made me understand how bad we need to want things for them to come true. So we'll be back right after this one.
And the story is about, you guys have probably heard about this before. It was a young man who, you know, he wanted to make a lot of money. And so he went to this guru, right? He told the guru, you know, I want to be on the same level you are. And so the guru said, if you want to be on the same level I'm on, I'll meet you tomorrow at the beach at 4 a.m. Said, I want to make money. I don't want to swim. Guru said, if you want to make money, I'll meet you tomorrow, 4 a.m. So the young man got there at 4 a.m. He all ready to rock and roll, got on the suit. He should have wore shorts. The old man grabs his hand, said, how bad do you want to be successful? He said, real bad. He said, walk on out in the water. To the water, watch this. When he walks out to the water, it goes waist deep. So he like, this guy crazy. Adrian, he like, I want to make money. He got me out here swimming. I didn't ask to be a lifeguard. I want to make money. He got me in. So he said, come on a little further. Walked out a little further. Then he had it right around this area. The shoulder area. So this old man crazy. He making money, but he crazy. Come on out a little further. Came out a little further. It was right at his mouth. My man like, I'm about to go back in here. This child is mine. I thought you said you wanted to be successful. He said, I do. He said, walk a little further. He came, dropped his head in, held him down, holding down my mirror, getting scratchy. Just before my man was about to pass out, he raised him up. He said, I got a question for you. Somebody answer the question for me. He said, when you were underwater, what did you want to do? He said, I wanted to breathe. Said, when you want to succeed as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. You don't care about no basketball game. You don't care what's on TV. You don't care about nobody calling you. You don't care about a party. The only thing you care about when you're trying to breathe is to get some fresh air. That's it. And when you get to the point, where all you want to do is be successful, as bad as you want to breathe, then you'll be successful. But you don't want it bad, you just kind of want it. You don't want it badder than you want a party. You don't want it as much as you want to be cool. Most of you don't want success as much as you want to sleep. Some of you lost sleep more than you lost success. And I'm here to tell you today, if you're going to be successful, you've got to be willing to give up sleep.
You gotta be willing to give up sleep, son. You hear that, Weza?
Yeah, man. And that's very true. Hey, most people just kind of want things. They don't really, you know, want it bad enough.
I
think it's the same for almost all of us in many things. I remember when I was studying chemical engineering and now I'm out there trying to do these auditions, you know. I remember sitting there and I felt like an intruder sometimes. Like I felt like I just kind of want this. But the people here who are also doing this audition
really want
this. This is all they got. This is, you know, all they're relying on. And with me, I just felt like maybe I don't know if I really want it. But anyway, I would still think I'm doing my best. And I would go through to the callbacks. And then I wondered why I was not going any further than that. You know, I wouldn't land the gig. I would only almost get there and not really quite get there. And I mean, this, for instance, this one that is pretty much one of the biggest ones that have ever happened. The one that we come from now, the one that's out there in this live, is probably the biggest one. But I remember wanting it bad enough. This time I walked out and I felt, and when I was thinking to myself, I said, wow, for the first time, I really want something, you know, because sometimes we are too scared to declare to ourselves that we really want this because we're scared of the disappointment that will come when we don't get it. If I don't get it, you know what, I tried. No, this time I was like, it's not okay.
Did you vocalize to yourself like, I have to get this?
Yeah, I'm like, I've got this. I had to say, when I was sitting in the car,
get brave.
After the audition, I'm sitting in the car, I had to say, I got this, man.
I feel you.
This is mine.
Hey.
Yes. You know,
you have to
put it all on the line. Put your pride on the line and say, you know what, this is mine. Yeah. I got this. There is no way they're not going to pick me. I've got this.
It has to happen.
I mean, there are people who auditioned who got 10 years experience. I don't care how much experience they have.
I've got this.
This time it was just for me, okay?
Shout out.
Guys were just here to make the movie look like a movie and not like a monologue.
Hey!
But it's mine! Yeah.
I feel you, bro. Nah, you deserve another horn for that. And I think
maybe
in the next couple of years we might see where's that guy on that Forbes top 10 list, entertainers.
Thank you.
There's another girl in studio with us right now. We've got an awesome guest with us who's also probably aspiring to be on that list of 10 of the richest 2017 entertainers.
Right.
Hopefully, maybe we'll give you like into 2020 something. Maybe 2018. Who are we to deny you?
Cool. Deepo, how you doing?
We're joined by Deepo.
I'm okay, man. How are you?
Fantastic. Mm. Now, here's something interesting. I like to do this exercise, especially nowadays.
Mm-hmm.
This first impression exercise.
Oh, my goodness.
Cool. What we're going to talk about real quick is that dynamite comes in small packages.
Mm-hmm.
But before we get into any of that, let's just hear, what is your first impression of Von? Like, you just walked in here, you're seeing him for the first time. What do you think of Von? Because apparently, the stats is MIT did a study on this and they found that people make up their minds about you in the first 7 seconds.
Mm-hmm.
So you got about 7 seconds to make a first impression.
No pressure, I'm just sitting in front of you.
And then you have all that time after that to either try really hard to prove them wrong or try really hard to maintain that image that you just achieved in the first 7 seconds.
Yeah.
So in the first 7 seconds of you seeing this gentleman, what did you conclude in your mind about him?
Cool kid.
Cool kid.
Mm-hmm. Really cool kid.
Yeah.
Like a Brahm Lord.
Uh-huh.
Low key.
A Brahm Lord.
Like, if I was to walk in the streets of Brahm, I'd probably bump into you.
Hey. Yeah.
Looking like a Brahm Lord. Not like, honestly.
Yeah.
Really cool kid, but chilled guy, I think.
Yeah.
Maybe a little bit of an ego there.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, Not very sure.
Okay.
But yeah, really, really easygoing guy. Like
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, cool. And what did you think about her?
I thought that she's... I didn't hear you speak,
mm-hmm.
but I could tell that you're very well spoken. I don't know. Mm-hmm. I just have... Like, that's what I thought.
Mm-hmm.
I thought you're very well spoken. I think that you're confident. And I think that you have a nice sense of style. So that probably puts you in together. And I probably... And then putting those together made me believe, like, automatically that,
mm-hmm.
okay, where you're from, you're obviously popular.
Hmm.
Ah, interesting.
Mm. Compliment, thank you.
And it is important that that we always hear about this gossip about ourselves.
Yeah.
Because this gossip is literally just it's a mirror. I mean, if you remember, we always kind of bring it up that when Timothy Maurice was here, he said that our life is like a 360-degree mirror.
Mm.
And so what we see outside is a representative of what we are showing the world. What we see and what people say about
us
is what we have shown the world thus far.
Mm.
Where you are right now is a summation of all your thoughts, all your efforts.
Mm-hmm.
Are summed up in where you are right now in life. And if you don't like it, it's only because this is what you've shown us till now.
Mm-hmm.
And the 360-degree mirror. Yeah.
Talk to them
with
me.
And at no point does it mean that whatever you see is a permanent picture. Mm-hmm. It's dynamic because you are dynamic. So if you want it to change, change you and it changes.
Mm.
So right now, you get to hear about a first impression of what are you bringing out into the world. And if one says, well, from looking at you, I see this, 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 and this, it means that that's what you are packaging out there.
Mm.
Now, don't hate Von for saying you look like a cool kid when you think to yourself, no, I don't want to look like a cool kid. I want to look like a church girl.
Mm.
If that's what you're trying to go for,
I feel you.
Then you need to try something else because that's not what you... putting out right now.
Mm-hmm. That makes a lot of sense. And I think that it's probably a very true statement where you say that we actually can see ourselves to some degree in the first impressions that others have of us, which is that's pretty interesting. That kind of leads me to, I don't know, man. In other news, guys, if you guys need any psychic advice, Weza, that guy, is not only a voiceover artist, he is also he's also available to give you insight into who you are through the eyes of the people around you.
A man with many talents.
Come and let us see a man with many talents tell you all about your life.
Oh, man.
T's and C's apply.
You're such a voiceover guy.
Brilliant, man. Brilliant. Yeah, but talking about voiceovers, you're also in that space, yeah, in the radio, voiceover, yeah. Entertainment space. Tell us a little bit about your journey. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing, where you want to be. Let's get the lowdown.
I feel like, you know what, I can't tell you where I want to be now because you've already applied so much pressure by saying I want to see myself now on the top 10 list. So I'm like, do I have to mention that? Do I have to mention that? But yeah, man, it started a long time ago, really. Uh-huh. I got on radio when I was 16. And oh, wow. Yeah, I was literally very, very young. I was literally the youngest person at the radio station. And I think what inspired me more than anything was my late father, who honestly always told me, because I was laughed at in primary school. You know, everybody didn't understand how I was so small, but I had such a huge voice. So I was constantly mocked, like, yo, but you're so skinny, but your voice is so big.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
You know, and I would go home all the time and cry. My dad would be like, you know what, you're different from all of them, and maybe one day you just might do something really great with your voice. And then when he passed on, I think I took it all serious. You know, I was like, it's about that time I make him proud. But also now, because he was pretty much the breadwinner in the family, my mom is self-employed, it got very tough. And I think I assumed the role then of being the second head of the household. And
sure.
I was like, I need to help her. I need to do something.
Yeah.
And I went to auditions, you know, multiple auditions. And then one time I saw this audition at Mafikeng FM. And I was like, let me go try this out. Maybe it's my big break.
You're from Maftown?
Yes, I'm a Maftown kid. And it really was my big break. Cool. And that's when it just all started.
Oh, fantastic.
Started emceeing and yeah.
What's your show called on Mafikeng campus? Are you still there?
No, definitely not. Okay, I'm in Pretoria now.
Oh, okay. I was about to say, because you came a long way from Maftown to be on this show.
You want it back.
No. I moved to Pretoria for studies and then I joined Tux FM
as
a volunteer. Of course.
So you're on Tux FM.
That's where I'm at now.
Fantastic, man. So you've got big dreams of gracing the mainstream microphones in radio houses.
Definitely. I want to be as big as Gareth Cliff if I can.
Yeah, here we go. There we go. Gareth, if you listen, shout out.
Yeah, well, Gareth just walked past. I'm sure he's waving in his heart. Yeah.
That's usually where he waves.
Yeah. Well, so let's just, you know, rewind a little to the time where you're saying you're growing up, your father had these great visions of where you'd be one day. And he's telling you, know, one day you're going to do great things with your voice.
Mm-hmm.
And then your father passes away. And how old are you at the time?
I was 14.
14.
Literally beginning of high school.
Yeah.
So it was the hardest time for me.
It must have been. I mean, at that time, it's still the puberty stage. You're still trying to find yourself as a girl, trying to understand where you fit in with the world.
Mm.
And then, you know, something like this just shakes your whole foundation in a way.
Mm-hmm.
And then now from here, what is the pressure like now to support your mom? You said that you know, she became now the new breadwinner, and you wanted to help out in that particular role.
Mm-hmm.
Just take us through that journey and how you were feeling in that time.
I'll tell you what though, I mourned, but I think it was for like 2 minutes, and then
it was quick,
for a very short time. And then I woke up and I was like, listen, I can't keep crying, because I'm gonna sit here and I'm gonna cry, and then it's not gonna solve anything. You know, in the end, she is struggling, she's not doing as great as she is now, to be quite honest. At that time, she wasn't doing so great. So, you know, I think I woke up one morning and reality sort of dawned on me, and I was like, hey, you need to do something. You need to help us. So there was always that pressure to sort of be an overachiever, you know, to not only then make myself proud, but make her proud and my dad now, you know. So I had to work super hard in terms of academics and also my job. I would do a lot of shifts, you know, just to get some extra cash. So it was really, really tough. But I think the one thing that I always thank her for is not applying that pressure on me, though. I applied it on myself because I felt like I needed to do something.
Yeah.
So even now, I'm just a very independent kid, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, I always try to make some money on the side to buy myself most of the things I have.
Yeah.
So I always just try to, because there's a lot of pressure on her. Obviously, she is a single parent and she's a mother of two. So I'm just always like, you know what? You don't have to buy that. I can maybe raise the money and do it myself. So it's been a little hard. But I like working, I guess. So it's I think that's the beauty of it. I love radio, so I enjoy it so much that I don't even see it as a job anymore. It's sort of now a hobby. So awesome. I think that's why it's just not so tough for me anymore.
And you say you went through audition, not always going your way.
Yes.
How old were you at that time going to these auditions? Who was taking you to the auditions? And also, what goes on in your mind while you are at the audition, still thinking in the back of your mind, your dad is gone. He wanted you to be in this industry, and Just tell us about that.
I went to my first audition, crazy enough, literally, I think 2 months after he passed on. And it was in Joburg. So I had to make my mom drive me there. And I woke up very early because Mafikeng and Joburg are pretty, you know, big distance apart. So it's about 4 hours drive. Yeah. So we woke up very, very early. And, you know, on the way, I was just like, I kept telling, I'm going to make you really proud, you know, and I'm doing this for you. I hope you know this, you know.
Wow.
And we got there and I auditioned. And I think the saddest thing for me then was not getting the job, because it's like I lost my dad and then now I'm losing an opportunity. But I didn't give up. I was like, you know what, if it's meant for me, then I'll get something else in the future, something better.
Yeah.
So yeah,
those trips back to Muff Town were probably the longest.
They were tough.
Yeah.
Now I'm looking at her like, I wasted your petrol. I hope you're not upset. But she encourages me all the time to go for it. So I think that's just the beauty of it all. She never, you know, mentions it to me and says, listen, you went to an audition the other day and I paid a lot of money for you to get there. And, well, you didn't make it. What are you going to do about that? You know, she's just very always easygoing and very supportive. So
That helps. Yeah. It always helps having like a solid support structure at home, even if things are tough, you know. As long as you know somebody, you know, close to you believes in you as much as perhaps you do.
Mm-hmm.
And also doesn't, like you were saying earlier, I think that's really respectable from your mother not to apply pressure to you and for you to kind of take it on your own shoulders. You know, it says a lot about both of you. So it's pretty inspiring story. I think a lot of people go through situations where they do feel challenged. Like, I mean, I can just imagine, you know, what it would feel like going through the loss at 14 and then still having to go through disappointments of rejection in certain castings and auditions. It can just get a little bit too much. But it's what I find from you is that you kind of find the strength in yourself, within yourself, that comes from a place of, I know I can do this. It's just a matter of time.
Yeah.
You know?
Definitely.
And I think, I think that's something that we can all apply to. It's like a strong sense of self-belief, you know?
True. Very true. It is very important that one has that, you know, self-talk also that says, you know what, my time is still coming.
Yeah.
You know, this was just not it yet, but it's still coming.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have this philosophy. I always have these philosophies that you literally have to be in almost everyone's shoes before you are in the alpha male position within that thing that you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I, for instance, I've been the dude that almost went to the audition, but didn't go because I thought, maybe there are bigger people there, or maybe something came up. I've been the person who went to the audition, got to the audition, looked around and said, there's too many people here, and I left. I've been the person who stuck it out all the way through, sat in to have a 5, like 10 seconds in front of the camera, and then to be told, okay, cool, thank you very much. And then next thing you're like, wow, that was pretty quick.
Yeah.
I've been the dude who goes through to the next round, and then you have the callbacks, and then
it's bye-bye.
Bye. And then I've also been the dude who went all the way, got the job as an extra to see how the main dude does his thing while you're there doing your extra little thing on set. You're amazed at everything and you're learning and so on, but you're not the main dude. You just have to watch the main dude be the main dude. And you have to say, wow, one day when I'm the main dude, I'm not going to treat people like that. Oh, wow, one day when I'm the main dude, this is what the main dude is allowed to do. Wow, this is cool. And then after I've been all these people, like let's say about 2 months after I was a while after, a couple of months after I was the second, second in line, like the main dude, and then it was me. Then I got a main dude role. And now I knew how everybody here feels. I even know how people feel who didn't make it here. And it makes you a very well-rounded person. You can relate with many people.
Definitely.
In like the people who are still struggling to get to where you are, and the ones who are almost where you are, and the ones who are right next to you. You relate to everybody and you understand the journey and you understand the struggle. And it's just a beautiful thing. So sometimes these other things are part of it, and it's, you have to pass that particular milestone. You have to pass that gate to get to the next one. Mm-hmm. You can't get in the house without passing through the gates. Mm-hmm. It just happens that way. It's rare that you ever speak to anyone who's really made it very well and been sustainable within that space. And you say to him, hey man, how did you get here? And he says, "Now, well, I just got the role. I woke up one morning and I said, huh, it would be nice to like be on the Daily Show." Mm-hmm. And then he said, "Hey, I just went and then I got it." It doesn't happen that way. Mm-hmm. You know, even Trevor's story, if you really are interested in Trevor, mm-hmm. go check him out on Wikipedia. Mm-hmm. And you'll see that, whoa, before you knew him, this guy
went through a lot.
Yeah, he was a hustler for many. He tried acting. Mm-hmm. Man, I even saw this other movie like that was just playing in a, you know, in the back streets of SABC, mm-hmm. where Trevor Noah was acting. I'm like, oh, it's Trevor. But I realized it's a movie from way back in the day before anybody thought Trevor was anything. Mm-hmm. And he dies early in the movie. I thought he was going to be a starring, mm-hmm. and he's just an extra that's going to die. I was like, what? Mm-hmm. That's Trevor. And Trevor has done so many things before he was who he is. Mm-hmm. Interesting thing, when you read his book, you realize that after high school, he spent 3 years hustling in the corners of LX, the township, selling fake CDs to taxi drivers. Man. That was the hustle. And he, for the first 3 years after high school, 19, 20, 21, mm-hmm. if you ask Trevor, what are you going to be? What's your plan with your life? He didn't have one. He was just here now. So, I mean, Your history or even your current situation mm-hmm. clearly does not determine where you're going to end up. Mm-hmm. Because look now, 10 to 15 years later, he's got one of the most expensive apartments in the world. He's got one of the most coveted comedy jobs in the world. He's just doing well.
Yeah,
he's
and that's why I always really say, well. Though, you know, every obstacle is meant to build you.
Yeah.
You know, yeah, be sad about it, whatever, but then pick yourself up and be like, okay, it's on to the next one now.
Yeah.
You know, I can't stay here and then be sad about it. I have to do something else. I have to do better.
Yeah, we can't linger on things, right? I'll just stay in one place.
Definitely.
What are you studying?
LLB.
Are you studying law?
Yeah, it's my second year.
How many radio personalities have I met in my life that studied law? I promise you, I there are tons of them, man. Most recently, Robert Marawa also studied law.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, I feel like, that study law develop really, really, really strong opinions.
Definitely. Yeah.
And a lot of people that study law in South Africa also, how do I say this? They become... It's not a bad thing, but they become very, very aware of the injustices of the world and of South Africa and of the past, and mm-hmm. they become really, really driven to change that. Mm-hmm. So I think it's pretty cool, the combination between being outspoken, being on a platform, and having the drive that will eventually, you know, like, form part of who you are,
mm-hmm.
to make a major difference in a country which probably needs it sooner than later.
Yeah. So as a millennial with a really strong opinion, second year LLB, you know what I mean? And someone who's also quite outspoken and would love to be the voice of something. In South Africa, as you look at it, being a millennial, what is that something you'd like to have a voice for and to stand for? What do you see right now that you say, guys, this needs correction and I feel like I want to be the voice for this?
Definitely, and this is because it's a very personal thing to me. It has to be woman abuse. Mm-hmm. I've seen it firsthand, and I'm not going to go, you know, into detail about it, but I have seen it firsthand. I've experienced it at home. I've, you know, experienced it myself. So it needs to change. The way women are treated in general, and not only by men, but also by other women, it needs to change completely.
Yeah.
It needs to change. Mm. Because not only do men look down on women now, women are doing it, you know, to each other as well. So I think we need to respect each other, one, and also, you know, we need to, I don't know, I don't even know how we can get men to respect us anymore, because it's a lot. I don't even know.
I think it comes from just the small efforts every day. I tell women this all the time. I think you know, each and every single one of us have encounters with the opposite sex every single day, mm-hmm. right? If the issue is lying with men, then I feel it is the responsibility of men to better themselves. However, it is also the responsibility of women to call out men should they be incorrect and should they be out of line. So I think that it's very important for you guys or females to never allow, when I say allow, I mean to never accept mm-hmm. the ill behavior of a man. Mm-hmm. If you feel he's been sexist or he's been out of line or if he's been incorrect, say, call him out. Don't allow it to continue. And whether what the result is after that is something to deal with then. But I don't think we should let things slide. That's what I mean. You know, if you're been hit in a relationship or you're being abused,
you leave.
Yeah, leave and cut it off, no matter what it is, because you need to make those points and those stands that this is not okay. You know what I mean?
And that's why I normally say, though, a lot of the times, you know, women cry victim and they say, oh yeah, but I'm going through so much. And it's like, you're putting yourself through so much by staying in that situation.
Get out. Trust yourself enough to get out and you know, make those hard decisions. But at the same time, it's also responsibility of men to just be better.
Yeah.
You know, men have to be better. We have to be better. Mm-hmm. We can't continue living in this way and looking around at the world and thinking there's nothing wrong. I mean, come on, guys. We have to be better human beings, and we need to work on uplifting everybody. We need to make sure that our intentions are pure, and that our actions and reactions to females are not from a sexist place. We need to educate ourselves, and those men that are awoke and are educated in that space, they need to take the responsibility and say, okay, you know what, I'm going to take on this responsibility of my own, for my own, you know what I mean, to make men better. But yeah, I think it's just an everyday thing that we need to work on.
It's a process, so really.
It's a process. Yeah. And every single time us young people get into a situation where we're confronted with something we don't agree in, we need to fight that battle then and there. Same as what we don't need to do with racism.
Definitely.
Same that we need to do with sexism. You know, it has to happen. People that are homophobic, we cannot accept people not accepting that we are a diverse, different nation and people in the world. You know, that's the problem all over the world, this thing. You know, this woman abuse and racial and sort of racial injustice. So I think that if you feel someone's been out of line, call them out right there. Call them out right there. Make it a thing. You know, make it a thing. Don't be afraid of that. There's nothing wrong with standing up for what is right.
Cool stuff. No, very, very true. Now, on a lighter note, just a shout out to Nolutando Mpofu. She says she's loving the show and she can really, really relate. Hashtag Cliff Central.
Shout out.
Thank you. Thank you very much. Shout out to you.
Shout outs.
Cool. There's a lot of shout outs here, but we won't get time to go through all of them. I'll just like them on Facebook and on Twitter. Thank you, guys. I hit you with a like, though. You remember that?
Yeah, I'm maybe that guy, but I'm not that guy.
You know what I mean? Yeah, guys. So at this wedding that I went to, right, this extravagant wedding.
Talk to us.
I also met a photographer there who's really, really quite successful. How much do you think the photographer makes in a month? A photographer, a photo taker, just taking photos, printing, sending them to you on a USB. How much money do you think he makes a month?
It obviously depends on how good you are, you know, how skilled you are. So, I don't know.
Average it out. Try average it out.
Average, maybe 15K.
Okay, she says 15K. How much do you think?
I think it once again also depends, but I am going to, judging by the fact that you're asking this question, you see I'm taking a lot of things. No, I'm gonna be honest, and I'm gonna say I would think a photographer, decent salary, successful, fairly good at what he does, good client base, you know, is on the road quite often, I think he could earn between 25 and 30K.
Alright, cool. So I don't think any of y'all are ready for this, because this photographer makes between he averages at 100,000 and 150,000 a month.
What is it that I'm doing wrong? What is it that I gotta do to be making this money
That's really insane. He must be charging 15-20 grand a shoot, maybe. Yeah. Well, I mean, he's probably fire. But I will say something to you guys. I was researching something a while back, right, around the cost of CD sales, etc. And I came across an interesting artist called Nipsey Hussle. I'm not sure if you guys are aware of Nipsey Hussle, but he's not necessarily mainstream, but he's pretty big in New York. He's like a big Bronx dude. He's got cool flows. He's interesting sort of rap character, but he's an independent artist, right? And Nipsey, look, when you drop a CD in the States, you drop the tape, costs $99.99, $8, you know, around there, and converted, it's around about the same price, yeah, 150, 160, whatever it goes for, right? Nipsey dropped his album, didn't put it in stores, dropped it on the streets, and he was selling it for $100.
What?
Whoa. Yeah. He said, if you're going to buy my album, I'm going to sell it for $100. I'm going to tell you the value of what I made. This is my art. And in him pricing it so high, it made it feel so much more exclusive. So he went out and not only did he sell the albums, but he Jay-Z bought like 10,000. Jay-Z was like, shout out to you, my dog. Like, I feel
you're
you.
Doing amazing.
Like that's that black power. You know, that's that like I'm making a stand for this hip hop thing type thing, you know?
Jeez, guys, wait, let's try to calculate this. You're saying he sold it for $100?
$100. So it was about $1,500
Times about 14, 15, somewhere there. Let's say we times it by 14 just to be conservative. That's R1,400.
Yeah.
And then you say Jay-Z bought how many?
Like, I think it was 10,000.
Jay-Z bought 10,000 of them. So Jay-Z gave this guy 14 million.
Yeah, which is like that. Which is like what? $1 million, yeah.
Yeah, 14 million rand.
Something around like
just,
something
just,
like
that. So that was him. Just that because,
was him. Yeah, that was him just saying you're doing well.
That's Jay-Z saying like, you know what? I see what you're doing for New York and for hip hop. You're making this thing exclusive on your own. So, like, you know, shout out to you. I see the hustle. And he went and bought, like, a whole lot of albums from him. I think the number was 10,000.
Mm.
But what it relates to the photographer, you know, he's like, I'm good. So I'm going to charge 30 grand to shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And there's a reverse psychology in the charging for this thing, you know?
Mm.
Because when people pay premium amounts for things, automatically, subconsciously, they experience it in a premium way. Because they've made the sacrifice.
Mm.
Same as when you're booking an artist. Same as.
Same as when you're buying really expensive things, like a expensive bag or some expensive shoes.
You know?
And then you end up, you appreciate the smaller things. Oh, did you see the stitch on the inside?
Yeah.
Oh, come on, guys, just a stitch. But you're like, these guys thought of everything,
yeah,
man.
Like,
you're
I mean, like, look at that. I mean, it's the same in the picture. Like, you might get a couple of pictures that you paid 30 grand for, and you might be like, look how he timed the sun. Like, look how he timed that rain. You know, that guy's like,
yeah, but I mean, it goes back to that Picasso analogy, and it goes back to the analogy of the dude who fixed the boat. I'll say it again. There was this boat that was stuck on the side of it got shipwrecked on an island. These guys went on to the people who work at the island, especially the ones who work closer to the shore, and they said, hey man, can you guys try to help us?
Yeah.
Our boat is stuck and we're not sure what's wrong.
Mm.
All these mechanics tried to figure it out. They're working on it, fiddling on it. Man, a whole week went by. The boat still wasn't working.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody tried, but nobody could fix this thing. It's so
it
problematic.
Mm-hmm.
And then just as they were trying to give up, someone said, hey, man, there's someone who lives on the other side of the hill. There's this guy who has like a mechanic shop. He's pretty successful.
Mm-hmm.
Let me try get him. Maybe he can fix this thing. So they went out, got him, and he came. The next day they found him, and he came through. And he said, okay, cool, let me see what's wrong here. And he looked at the boat, went inside, and then he came out and he said, can I please have a size 10 spanner? And they gave him the spanner.
Mm-hmm.
He went back in, and a little while later, he was out and the boat was fixed. And they were like, whoa.
That was
amazing.
Mm-hmm.
Shucks. How much do you want? Then he says, well, that will be $20,000. They're like, what?
$20,000
to fix a little bolt?
Yeah.
Ah, come on, man.
Yeah.
And then they said, you know what? We can only pay you this amount if you can clearly show on this invoice how you got to $20,000. He says, okay, cool. Line one, fixing, like tying a bolt, 5 cents. Knowing which bolt to tie, $19,999.95.
Wow.
That's the thing.
Mm-hmm. The thing is, yes, I built it in 1 hour, but it took me 10 years to build it in 1 hour. You're paying for the 10 years it took me to get to the point where I can do it in an hour.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's business.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? That's business, and that's how it works.
Just in conclusion, while I was chatting to this photographer, and I thought, wow, man, he was having a conversation saying that, you know, his accountant was telling him he's part of the top 1% of the country in South Africa in terms of people earning money.
Mm.
And you were saying, yeah, but that's only because South Africa is a poor country.
Mm.
You know, in another country, you're doing okay if you're earning $150,000 a month.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, 150,000 rand a month.
Mm-hmm.
You're not really rich. In our country, you're rich because we're not all that well.
Because the country is struggling, you know what I'm
saying?
So it's perspective.
Yeah, and what we need is not always new SASOLs and new ESCOMs, because that's what we think we need. And that's what our parents have been accustomed to. You get absorbed by a huge corporation and you work for them.
Yeah.
And that's how you get out of poverty. But sometimes actually we just need more of us to become these little photographers, little voice artists, and this and that and that, and own the space. Don't actually wait for somebody to employ you in the space. Own it and do something. Even if it is the odd 2,000 that will grow to 5,000, that will grow to 10,000, but own the space and grow your little backyard garden. And I think in that way, that's how we will actually see ourselves improve the economy.
Absolutely. And support each other. Support your fellow young people. You know what I mean?
True stuff. Thank you very much for joining us. It's been an absolutely fantastic time. This is the shortest hour of the week. Vaughn, last words?
Every single week, it is the shortest hour of the week. And thank you very much for tuning in, guys. We appreciate your support. And you know, just keep vibing with us. We're gonna be having a lot of interesting conversations over the next couple of weeks. Some really cool guests lined up. I know Sporkuzi's been working on content.
Some big people, like from America, people who make people's dreams come true. I'm talking about Broadway. I'm really honest,
real
guys.
We're talking about real things coming up, guys. So I think stay tuned. It's gonna be really cool. Dimpo, thank you so much for coming through. We really appreciate your time, and you've got a really inspiring story, and you're doing really cool things.
Thank you.
How can people keep up with you? Share your social media handles, and just the last words to people that you feel might be going through what you went through.
Okay, on Twitter it's @_DimpoM, Instagram it's _Dimpo_M, and on Facebook, I'm hardly on Facebook though, but if you do want to catch me there, it's Dimpo Baki Mokoto. So yeah, coming from me, man, it's been amazing. Thank you guys for having me. If maybe you're going through some rough patches out there, remember though, it always gets better. I always say, you know, with my kind of pain, the kind of pain I felt, you know, losing a parent, a lot of people came to me and they were like, it's going to be okay. And I said to them, no, don't lie to me. It's not going to be okay. It's going to get better though. So remember though, it always gets better with time. The pain does subside eventually.
Absolutely. Thank you so much, guys, for tuning in. Until next time, do your thing, man. Do your thing.
This is CliffCentral.com.